This is the Scorebook Life Today podcast. It is November 10th. It's Selection Sunday. I'm Andy Bueller. I'm here with Todd Millis in the Millis crib. Todd, how you doing?
Yeah, man, it's a special edition. My guy Andy has been he's had a busy last 72 hours being up at the selection show up at the WIA office, and now we have the state brackets ready from 4A all the way down to 2B, and the next week we'll have the 8-man bracket set. So we're here certainly in crunch time right now.
It's playoff football time this morning, like you said, in Renton. The WIAA seeding committee from 2B through 4A seeded the playoff brackets, all 16-team brackets. So you can find those if you haven't seen them already. Then you're probably not listening to this podcast, but they're on scorebooklive.com/Washington. A lot of really fascinating matchups. Particularly, we had a lot of questions going in at the 4A level, and I guess we'll start there with, you have four undefeated teams who there's not a whole lot of room between those teams, and that's kind of what the committee said in every conversation I had with the committee member is, Graham Kapausen at number four, as the number four seed, there were more of a consensus there. There were more folks in agreement on the seeding committee, which is comprised of ADs, coaches, and a media member. But one through three, it's like splitting hairs.
Yeah, we talked about this on the podcast last week about having this clear tier of the four teams. And Graham Kapausen isn't the, for lack of a better term, the sexy team in the field. They're just a really solid football team. Did a lot of good things in the summer. I think that sort of caught people's attentions. I don't have a problem with Graham Kapausen being four. We had him ranked two most of the last few weeks. I know what the committee said, and you can explain the criteria and how they kind of went through their how each member came up, how it was broken down from each sure. member of the committee. I do have a problem with it. I think there was a clear number one. I think this is the biggest shock, and I've said it on social media today. I thought Lake Stevens was the clear number one. I talked to Wayne Maxwell a little bit before the game.
Head coach at Woodinville.
Yeah, Woodinville, before the Woodinville Emerald Ridge District game. He said the field was wide open, but Lake Stevens, looks to be the one, the clear one. I think most people around the state, based on what they did last year, based on what they had back, the way Tanner Jellison's played, they're loaded all over the field. They beat Lincoln in a non-conference game. I mean, they're the highest scoring team in 4A. My question to the committee seating members would be, what more could Lake Stevens have done to get the number one seed? They literally blew out every team in their league and beat a really, really good Lincoln team that's seeded third in the 3A bracket by double digits on the Abe's home field. So
I'll tell you what, I'll answer that question, and not as a voting member. This isn't my opinion, but this was when it came down to the committee splitting hairs and the committee ranked, they gave Kennedy Catholic the number one seed, Camas the number two, and Lake Stevens the number three, GK the number four, was it came down to, if they were actually splitting hairs, it came down to strength of schedule. Is that the idea is, okay, Lake Stevens, these teams in the committee's eyes are essentially the same. So they look at a team like Kennedy Catholic that has wins over Kentwood, Bethel, Lincoln?
Bothell,
that's right. Bothell, those are three really strong wins. And a Kennedy Catholic defense that was the big question mark coming into this year was their defense. Their offense is going to put up points no matter what. You have Pac-12 skill positions. But their defense has held teams to 15 points a game this season. And so that combined with the fact that Lake Stevens' best win was against a 3A team, albeit a very good 3A team. And I think that it's reflective of how coaches around the state view the 4A Wesco League. And it ended up having to hurt Lake Stevens, unfortunately, in the eyes of the seating committee, because they had to make the evaluation of, okay, Kennedy Catholic has, checks all the boxes. Lake Stevens, there's one that's kind of half-checked, and it's strength of schedule when it comes down to it. Now, to be fair, Every committee member I talked to who was in the room said that there wasn't really a whole lot of discussion back and forth about 1 through 4. People just voted, and the way it works is that every committee member submits a bracket blindly, so they're not seeing who voted for who, and then it gets tallied up and it, you know, pooled into and tabulated into one bracket. And so when that came up, then they kind of parse through and then, you know, try to separate teams that, okay, we can't have two Kinko teams playing each other. Okay, we can't, you know, we want to reward league champs with home field advantage or, you know. And so the 1 through 4, there was not much discussion.
I get the logic. And I'm not saying don't take schedule comp, strength of schedule, how a team's playing at the end of the year, all those factors into consideration. Sometimes I think we lose sight of the big picture when we microanalyze a bracket such as this. Let's look at last year. Lake Stevens had the same schedule, flew through it, beat the same Lincoln team at home. They were the number 2 seed in the 4A bracket, went all the way to the state championship game. This is, I think, by all accounts, everybody would agree, this is a better Lake Stevens team. They scheduled a Ferndale team they thought were going to be good. I mean, Lake Stevens went, and they were responsible with the way they scheduled non-league with Ferndale, with Lincoln. They had 2 teams that were in the postseason last year, Mount Vernon, Glacier Peak. Probably would have gotten the state bracket if their quarterback hadn't got hurt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that Ferndale had a down year. The Wesco 4A had a down year. Lake Stevens didn't have a down year. The amount of points that they were putting up was absurd. And oh, by the way, that defense that you mentioned with Kennedy Catholic, that Lake Stevens defense was equally impressive. Maybe not against a Bothell, a Kentwood, and a Bethel collectively. Yes, Kentwood probably played a better schedule with their league and non-league. But I mean, I've seen both teams play, and this is not to take anything away from Kennedy Catholic and Sam Heward and that group and Sheldon Cross. They've had a fantastic year. They're going to be a handful throughout this whole bracket. But the most complete team I saw all year was Lake Stevens. Hands down, what they did to Lincoln, and they didn't even play well that night and still beat them by double digits. I just think this was the team that was number one pretty much from the preseason on. They didn't do anything. There was never any jeopardy in what their standing was in 4A, and yet here we are on Selection Sunday, and we're looking at that same Lake Stevens team that dominated from week 1 to week 10, and they're a 3 seed. I just don't get it. And you know what? I don't have to, because we'll just cover the games as they are.
Yeah, no question. It does have real consequences. You're right. I mean, in the eyes of the committee members, they're saying, like you said, not to take away from Kennedy. And, well, I'm sure they, you know, the committee members are saying the same thing about Lake Stevens. Well, not to take away from Lake Stevens, but we thought that, you know, Kennedy was this. We thought that Camas at 2, which we'll get to in a second, was this. Well, now Lake Stevens at the 3 seed, they could face, if them and Camas meet in the state semifinals, Lake Stevens is going to have to drive down to McKenzie Stadium in Vancouver, or likely McKenzie Stadium. They're going to have to probably drive down to Vancouver. And so that significantly alters the end of the road for them, makes getting to the state championship game that much more difficult. It just puts an extra hurdle.
Well, yeah, and listen, they benefited last year. They went undefeated in the Wesco. You could argue, was Lake Stevens the second best team in the state last year? I don't know. In my personal opinion, I don't think they were. But they benefited from a favorable seating. This year, it's kind of flipped on them. This kind of reminds me of the Puyallup situation last year, where I thought Puyallup was clearly, you know, a top 2 team. Wasn't. Had to go down to Union and play a memorable semifinal game in Vancouver. And then we know what happened after that. So, yeah, that Camas Union, or that Camas Lake Stevens semifinal matchup is looming large. And I'll tell you, John Eagle and his group, they got to be very, very happy, given that they've lost their quarterback. I know their backup quarterback's played really well the last couple weeks. That number 2 seed looks great. They're going to get to stay home as long as they stay alive, and then come up and play on a neutral field. That's a great break for them.
Yeah, and it says a lot to me, and I wrote this in our story, my story that's live on scorebooklive.com/Washington right now. It just kind of looks at exactly what we're talking about. it says a lot that the committee looks at a Camas team that lost its starting quarterback. They're starting tight end, defensive end Titan Phillips has been out with an injury. Their top-ranked recruit, Caden Steven, hasn't played offensive lineman, committed to USC, hasn't played since week three, and there's no timetable for his return. They hope to get him back. Their running back who had that great start to the season, who we wrote about, Jacques Badalato Birdsell, he's been battling an ankle injury and has had limited snaps. So this is a Camas team that, you know, when you talk about the things that the seating committee factors in, injuries are one of those things. Losing your starting quarterback to a collarbone break, you know, 2 games before the end of the regular season, like that's a recipe for getting knocked down a peg in the seeds. And the exact opposite happened to Camas. And I gotta say, that's because, I mean, John Eagle brought the numbers. He's the head coach of Camas, is a part of the seating committee, and he brought the numbers. He said, "Look, we haven't dropped with Blake Asciutto, our senior quarterback who stepped in and made his first start in week 9. We haven't dropped. He was 10 for 14 with 2 touchdowns against Union. He had more than 300 yards and 2 touchdowns last week against Olympia. He hasn't thrown a pick in either of the games he started. Now, he did against Skyview when he came in. But that says a lot about Camas. And like you said, Cam's got to be really happy where they're at."
Yep.
So do we want to get to – I mean, do we want to pick like maybe a game each in the first round of 4A and then move on to
3A? Yeah, I mean, I think the game that really caught my eye is the you know, and we see this a lot in any bracket, it's the 8-9 game. And it's going to be Woodinville and Skyview. You know, I just watched Woodinville last night. They're solid. I mean, they're the same solid team that I've watched over the last few years. Great defense, big – 2 running backs. They like to do a lot of stuff, get some big plays off the play action. They got, you know, Cage Skank, who's, you know, they can do a lot of things with. And then the senior group in Skyview just put a real whooping here on.
Yeah, can you believe
on,
that?
On Federal Way. That really surprised me in the district round. And the way those two teams are playing right now, I mean, you know, Woodinville's only loss was in the last minute to Bothell in the top two teams in that division. These are two really good football teams, and one of them are going to have to go home after week one. You know, I wouldn't want to pick that game, especially with that senior group that Skyview has that played Camas pretty tough. Granted, after the injury happened,
played Mount Si pretty tough too.
Correct.
Up at Mount Si.
So, I mean, this is a team these are two teams that have played the best teams pretty well, and one of them has to go home. To me, that's the clear game to really, really pay attention to in week one in this bracket.
Love that 8-9 line. Outside of just a quick shout out to the Lake Stevens Union 3-seed versus 14-seed game. That's a rematch of last year's state title game. I don't anticipate it to be close, but that's just a little nod to maybe some workings by the committee, just like the NCAA tournament does. You know, they kind of throw something a little cute in there.
You're just going to needle Tom Tri and his group, aren't you? You're not only going to remind them that they're still the 3-seed, but they got to play the team that ended their season in the championship game last year. Boy, I'll tell you, if there's one team that's really, really going to be motivated and angry, a little hot under the collar next week, I imagine this Lake Stevens group will be that. And, you know, Union's got to go, oh, my gosh, we got to face these guys in the first round. It's a rematch of the state championship game. I expect it to go drastically different than it did a year ago in Tacoma.
The real game, the one game that I'll most look for, I'm most intrigued by, is, you know, you talk about Woodinville Skyview. You covered Woodinville last night. I covered Mount Si last night. They beat Monroe by a couple touchdowns. Mount Si is going to have to go to Chiawana. Now, Chiawana is a team that defensively prides themselves on deception. On last week's podcast, I read a quote from Hanford coach Brett Jay that basically said, like, it's a dance party. Like, you have no idea. It's just complete chaos. Well, Chiawana is facing they get a really good quarterback. They've been rattling quarterbacks all year, and now they get to go up against Clay Millen, a guy who I want to say he embraces that type of madness. So I'm looking forward to that game. Mount Si on the road. You know, they've been resilient and been tested throughout this season. They were tested last night. They were tested early against Woodinville, and they lost in a stalemate. So that's the game at 4A I'm gonna really be looking out for. On to 3A. At the top in 3A, O'Day, Eastside Catholic, Lincoln, 1-2-3. Not a huge surprise there. Was there any seeds, any part of the bracket that really stood out to you?
Yeah, we've talked about the 3A PCL and the strength of those top three teams, and I was a little surprised that Bethel was a 4 seed, given that they've had 3 losses. Now, their 3 losses are to Kennedy Catholic, O'Day, Lincoln. They're a very talented team. They could do a lot of damage in this bracket. I thought they would maybe be in more in the 5 or 6. I thought Kennewick, you know, given those two teams over in Eastern Washington, if I had to pick a team who I thought was better between Kennewick and Mount Spokane, I really like Mount Spokane. Mount Spokane's been there. They gave Timberline all they could handle last year. You know, with Kennewick being a 5 seed, Mount Spokane, where are they at? They're in the 8 seed and will host Peninsula next week. I thought they were seeded a little lower than I thought. Maybe Kennewick was a little higher than I thought. It's good to see Marysville Pilchuck rewarded for a really good season. That's going to be a really good game.
That's a tough 11 seed in Prairie.
Yeah, and right now, if I were Mike Peck down there at Prairie, I would look at that matchup and go, that's a game we can win. That's a 5 seed that we can beat. You want to talk about the 3A Wesco? It's been kind of a weird league this year. Not a lot of rhyme or reason to it. Marysville Pilchuck kind of cleared it up very convincingly throughout the regular season. Dominated Snohomish in the championship game and the crossover championship game, and then beat Ballard last week. So, it's a fun bracket. No real surprises in the 3A, especially at the top with O'Day, Eastside Catholic, Lincoln as the 1, 2, and 3.
On to 2A. Tumwater's the 1. Steilacoom is the 2. Rounding out Linden, 3. Hawkinson, 4. And similarly to 4A, I mean, in 2A you have 4 teams that are kind of a clear favorite, that are a cut above. What surprised you about this bracket?
A Hawkinson seed. They're the 2-time defending champs. I know that they've lost their 2 playmakers, their 2 top playmakers at wide receiver, including Peyton Brammer a few weeks ago. They've got other guys, and they've got an experienced quarterback, and they've got a coach who knows how to win big games. I was a little surprised that they were dropped to a 4 seed, given that we've had them ranked 2 all year. They have the 1 loss at home to Archbishop to end their long winning streak, but they went on the road and beat a pretty decent Kelso team that's in the 3A field.
Yeah, Hawkinson's a team. I mean, we talked earlier about, splitting hairs with Lake Stevens and their schedule. You can't really make that criticism with Hawkinson. Yeah, it's maybe a little bit of a weaker league. Washougal, the 2, and the 3 teams out of that league got into the state playoffs. So in the past it has been, but this year, I mean, all signs point to it being on the state level a tougher league. So you have Washougal at the 11, and then you have Ridgefield at the 15 seed. Ridgefield, shout out to Scotty Rice. They get in for the first time in quite some time. I want to say since like 2005. Hawkinson, you know, not only do they have those, you know, it just so happens to be a bit of an up year in recent history in that league, but they also are a team that wants to go out and play anyone. And like you said, we covered their game in week seven or eight when they played Kelso, scheduling Archbishop Murphy. They opened with, I think, Toppenish. What do you think gives? I mean, do you really think that Peyton Brammer makes that much of a difference with this team? Because they're a team that has a senior quarterback that was a big part of their state championship run last season. He's a dual threat, and they've got other receivers who can make plays. You know, Mikhail Juarez is their speedster. Jeremiah Falstick at tight end. Liam Mallory has really come on, a sophomore who made big plays in the state championship game last year. Like, what gives here? I mean, do you really think that the seeding committee Got this one wrong?
Yes, I do. And again, I don't want to take anything away from Stelecom or Linden. You look at the schedule that Linden put together. Colby Davies put the schedule together with the seed in mind. And they did a great job. Linden had a tough – they played in the toughest district that they're losing to Mount Baker. And then they lost to Cedro Woolley. If one of those teams, given how difficult their schedule was, had only one loss on the ledger, then I'd be a little more understanding of the way that this order was set among the top four. I just don't think with one loss and as many boxes as Hockenson checks and the fact that they have a track record and the fact that all the personnel that they still have in trying to cover for injured, you know, Peyton Brammer, I thought that they should have – I thought they earned the number two team being who they are and what they've accomplished. But, I mean, you look at Stelecom, and like I said, every team that they played made the postseason. I mean, you want to talk about the epitome of strength of schedule. Stelecom has it. And Linden beat Stelecom and had a tough district. So, I mean, it's a little more difficult. I could see more of the splitting hairs in this one.
Yeah.
But the way
head-to-head, like, shouldn't that – count for more than overall strength of schedule?
Yeah, my order, I thought it was going to come out Tumwater, the clear number one, Hockenson two, being the two-time defending champs with one loss. I had Stelecom just slightly ahead of Linden, given that Linden had lost twice at home, and then Linden four. But if somebody were to say Linden three, Stelecom four, I would have been okay. I understand that, but... The Hockenson falling to four was the biggest surprise, not only in this bracket, but one of the bigger surprises I saw overall.
On to 1A. And in the words of Le Center head football coach John Lambert, who was a first-time committee member this year, you play seed two through seed seven. You're playing a really good team. 1A is you know, the most fascinating probably bracket going into the state playoffs. There's seven undefeated teams. Boy, do those 1A teams need to hit the road and play each other in the preseason. I mean, seriously, seven undefeated teams. That was a real task. I know for those seeding committee members, they made quick work of their seeds and of that bracket. And I mean, how do you think it turned out, Todd?
It's like you said, Andy, this is a really, really fun bracket. 1A football in general always seems to have a fun bracket. That and the 4As this year seem to be – there's some really exciting matchups even as early in this as this opening round. I thought by and large, you know, the bracket itself came out okay. I was a little perplexed by the 10 seed to Cascade Christian, a team that has – well, I think the best quarterback in 1A.
I think many would agree with you in Parker
Johnson, their passing attack. You know, they lost last year at Linden Christian when he was hurt. He was out with a concussion and didn't make it back in time. I think they're a better football team than they were last year. They got a lot of seniors. They didn't lose a game. They won their league championship, and they're going to have to go travel to Linden Christian again. I think that's a little unfair. We had them ranked maybe higher than a lot of other people around the state. I think that sort of points to Parker and that group of seniors. The other one, Montesano. This one kind of came out of nowhere for me. And this is not to take anything away from Terry Jensen. I think Terry Jensen's one of the best coaches in the state, not just in 1A, but the state. And his record speaks for itself. But in doing a lot of 1A work in the summer, there wasn't a lot of buzz with Montesano. Everybody talked about Hoquiam. And Montesano has put together this really, really dominating 10 games, including beating Hoquiam for the league championship down there. But I look at – if you want to apply some of the criterion from other brackets, I got to look at Montesano's schedule and go, outside Hoquiam, who did Montesano really play to deserve a three seed? They're undefeated. They won their league. I mean, I would have Le Center. I would have Le Center ahead of him. I would even have Mount Baker, who beat a 2A team ahead of Monty. And that listen, Monty's going to be a dangerous team just because of who's coaching them, their tradition. They've got some dudes down there as well. But in terms of checking the boxes, I think Montesano was gifted a 3 seed. I think the more appropriate seed would probably been in that 6 or 7 range.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, and LeCenter at 4, like, the, you know, they scheduled teams in their area, but teams in bigger classifications. They played Ridgefield, you know, ended up – they beat Ridgefield, who actually is in the, sitting here in the 2A state tournament now. Maybe didn't expect that in the preseason. They beat Kalama, and then they ran through their league. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. But, you know, 4, I think, is probably fitting for LeCenter and what they've been able to do this year. Outside of them, I mean, were there any other teams in 1A that you were surprised by? I mean, Mount Baker at the 5, they had a really hot start to the year and, you know, certainly are a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you differentiate between Mount Baker and Lennon Christian. They split the season series. That district, that conference always plays well in the state playoffs. No, not really. You know, Colville, with their 2 home losses, they fell out of our top 10. I mean, I think Randy Cornwell and his guys do a great job, but this is not the same team that won the state championship last year. I mean, they lost, and they, granted, they lost 2 home games by a grand total of, what, 3 points, including to Deer Park, which won that league. But, you know, a 9 seed, Colville, are they better than Cascade Christian? I don't know. Should they be seated ahead of Cascade Christian? In my opinion, no.
Royal, obviously the clear favorite in 1A, but beyond that, expect a lot of parity in this state playoffs. I'm looking forward to it. Now, finally, we'll get to the 2B state bracket. The 1B, just a heads up, is an 8-team bracket. The 8-man bracket will be determined on next Sunday, November 17th, after a not officially state round, but a round of games. We've got those games and the information on scorebooklive.com/Washington, so head there. But for the 2B bracket, this was the bracket that, you know, I was at the meetings in Renton floating around, not allowed to go into any of them, so just wandering and locked in an office. No, not really. But every committee was out early. 2B took the longest. And I think there's good reason for it. What did you make of this bracket? A few teams that we've covered this season and a lot that we haven't, that, you know, the tough part about 2B is that you've got a bunch of committee members who are, you know, there's so many factors at the 2B level that other classifications just don't have to deal with.
First off, what I see in this bracket is pure chaos. And this is a very territorial classification, more than any classification in the state. And it's East versus Southwest. This bracket of all of them collectively made little sense to me. And primarily because of what happened in the Northeast League. It was a league that the teams beat up on one another at certain points of the year. Chihuahua was allegedly was allegedly the best team going into the year and lost its you know, first 3 games. Now, granted, they played some 1A schools, but they didn't play any of those teams very tough. They lost 4 of their last 5, and four of their first 5, and all 4 of those losses were well into double digits. Yeah, they beat Lake Roosevelt by 3 at home in the middle of the year. Yeah, they beat Davenport at the end of the year. Are they the 4th best team in the state of Washington in 2B? I don't think there's a chance that's going to play out. It baffles me that 3 schools from that district are in the top, what is it? I see it.
Take your time.
Soton. There we go. In the top 8.
Yeah.
We've got a Soton at 8. We've got Colfax at 7. And we've got Chihuahua at 4. You know the schools that should be a little peeved about this? Lake Roosevelt, and Tri-City Prep. Yeah, I understand that the perception of their leagues over there isn't very good. But both of those teams were in the state playoffs last year and played these Southwest Washington teams rather, you know, relatively difficult, relatively tough. And both of them have one loss on the ledger.
Yeah, but I mean, that's where if you're Tri-City Preps, you just gotta take advantage of a game like Columbia Burbank that they lost. A close crosstown rivalry.
I get it. Lake Roosevelt goes to Chewila and loses by a field goal, and they are the sixth seed that has to play Friday Harbor with one of the best small school running backs probably in the state. If I were Lake Roosevelt, I look at that matchup and go, how did this happen? And I think that's because the committee looked at the 2B Northeast League and saw a lot of credibility in what that league produced. I don't. I think each of those teams that are in the field that struggle at times this year. I get it. There's injuries and it's a tough league and it's traditionally been a good league, but over the last couple of years it's not. I mean, I think if there was one league and one district at this classification that should be given the benefit of the doubt, it's the one that Napavine and Adna and Toledo and Onalaska and Rainier, those schools should be afforded a little more leeway with the seeding committee. I was really surprised with Chewila, especially Chewila being a four seed in this bracket. Maybe I'm proven wrong. Maybe they come in and lay the whoop down on people. But given what they've done with four losses, I can't remember ever seeing a four loss team in this 2B. Unless you're coming from the Napavine League and you've lost to the number one, the number two, and the number three teams in the state, and you have four losses like a Toledo, I can understand. But from the league over in the northeast part of the state, I can't understand.
Well, watch them prove it to you here in the next couple weeks.
Probably.
So that's always what ends up happening, isn't
probably.
It? Right after we run our mouths.
Yeah, probably.
Stay tuned with the rest of our coverage leading up to the first round of playoffs on scorebooklive.com/Washington. I'm on Twitter at Andy Bueller. He's at Many Hats Millis. We're going to keep this train rolling into the postseason, and basketball's not too far on the horizon either. Don't remind me. But thanks for tuning in to our special edition emergency seating pod. We will be back very shortly.